Socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters. Underwear is the second, shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear and shirts too, all designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, third and final hour of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew. Just a couple segments left for you to get your predictions in for the Friday news quiz. Scott Johnson from Powerline, Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire, and of course, producer Sam will be competing at 8:35 to win the Friday news quiz. If you make the correct prediction via email, jd@twincitiesnewstalk.com, or via Twitter using the hashtag TCNT, you will be entered into a drawing for a $100 gift certificate from Twin Cities Cannabis, home of Minnesota's finest CBD products.
A little bit later on in the hour ahead of the news quiz, we will get into the Minneapolis DFL chair just saying, you know, the city council should just refuse to accept the election results.
Yeah, that's totally normal. Totally normal. And not ironic at all.
No.
That the DFL chair in Minneapolis is encouraging, I think it's Philippe Cunningham specifically, encouraging them to refuse to accept the election results.
So it's okay to challenge election results when it's DFL, when it's just DFL versus DFL, but if it's DFL versus another party.
Yeah, when your particular DFL loses, it is absolutely fine to challenge election results, to refuse to accept them, and to, I don't know, stage a coup, apparently, of Minneapolis, which is sounds like what they want to do.
Representative Tom Emmer. Good morning, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning, John. Good morning, Drew, and others. What a nice way to join you. What a wonderful discussion.
I mean, it is... pretty ironic, right? I mean, of all the kvetching that's been done from our friends on the left over the riot on January 6th, to come out now and say that we shouldn't accept the election results because they didn't go the way they wanted. I mean, it's just it's pure projection and irony. It's great. It's delicious.
Well, it's totally hypocritical. But then, you know, why aren't they getting rid of this John Thompson guy? You know, that nobody even talks about him anymore.
You're right. I forgot too.
Yeah.
Looking at a story here, and it's kind of a duh, but I'll share it with you anyways. Representative Tom Emmer, get your thoughts. The United States Chamber of Commerce sent a letter to members of Congress explaining how the progressive-backed reconciliation bill contains several gimmicks and arbitrary sunsets that would add another $1 trillion to the total cost of the package. You mean this thing is not on the total up and up?
Wait a second, John. They wrote us a letter on that one, but they didn't bother to do the same thing on this so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill that had the same darn gimmicks in it that this one does. I mean, all they're doing is playing with effective dates and other types of things, shortening up programs. Think about this. They talk about hypocritical. It's not just hypocritical. It's a flat-out lie. You've heard them say that these bills are, quote-unquote, paid for, totally paid for. You know, those of you that are out there that are like me, I mean, you know, we're not engineering graduates, but, you know, we do simple math. If it's all paid for, John, then why do we have to raise the debt ceiling?
Right.
I mean, the whole thing is a massive joke. We just got done passing a bill that they said was $1.75 trillion, but there are some that will tell you that it actually will end up being a lot more than that. They called it an infrastructure bill, and yeah, it's got some good stuff in it. I mean, roads and bridges are in there, and there's broadband infrastructure, which, you know, broadband across this country based on what we just went through, I think it should happen more in the private sector, but, you know, it's got some merit. There's some other things that are in there, but come on. They've got electric vehicle infrastructure that's $7.5 billion. They've got, you'll love this one, resiliency. Resiliency is almost $50 billion for flood and wildfire mitigation. John, I know you're resilient. I don't know what this resiliency is. It's It's crazy. They established a grant program to subsidize alternative charging stations. They established a vehicle per mile fee pilot program. Get ready, Americans. They're not just going to be looking in your bank account to see what $28 you spent today and yesterday. They're going to be tracking where you go from here on out.
Yeah, we were talking about yesterday. There is a little provision in there about mandating drunk driving protections in all new vehicles. You know, putting in devices, and they didn't really specify what they were, but putting in some kind of device that would make it impossible to drive your car if you're impaired. And we talked about it for a while. And after the show, we got an email from a listener that I thought was rather spot on, saying that the real purpose of those is to get those devices and access into your vehicle so that they can access your mileage and start instituting their per mileage fee. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it makes some sense.
Andrew, I think it's discriminatory. If you're going to do it on cars, you better have them on bicycles. You better have them on motorcycles. You better have them on your off-road vehicles. I mean, these guys are insane. And when are people going to start standing up to them? I think the next chance we're going to get is going to be November of next year.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Hopefully, I mean, you know, every piece of polling and every piece of data that comes out right now seems to indicate, you know, that it's going to be somewhat of a bloodbath for the Democrats. But every time I see something like that, all I can think is, don't get cocky. Don't get cocky. No. Don't take anything for granted.
Yeah.
Well, and don't trust them. Because when they say voter reform, what they're talking about is changing the voting laws so that they can continue to win. They don't have a Main Street agenda. Everybody out there better realize that, you know, inflation directly caused by their insatiable need to spend more money. It's amazing to me that the Chamber of Communism is concerned now about this next bill, and yet we've put out trillions of dollars that is driving inflation like we haven't seen in more than three decades. And it's hurting every middle-class family. It's hurting everyone down the economic ladder. But they're taking care of their elite buddies in the Northeast and in Hollywood, Andrew. John, I don't know that you can scream about this enough. People are just going to have to continue to complain. They're going to have to continue to raise their voices. I mean, think about the crime wave. Did you see this thing in New York yesterday? You're actually going to have leaders who are calling for bloodshed in the streets if you're going to have a serious policing presence. People want law and order. That's why they voted for this new mayor who's a former cop. And I think we're all getting pretty tired of it. It's time to stand with those men and women who wear the uniform, and let's bring back peace to our streets, not just in New York, but in Minneapolis and beyond.
Well, we're facing, you know, multiple crises going on around the country right now between supply chain, you know, shipping backlogs, cargo backlogs, inflation going through the roof, gas prices going through the roof, energy prices. I mean, we're facing all of these things, and I'm looking up at the TV a moment ago, and I see a chyron that says the Biden cabinet will convene today to address these crises. And I'm like, no, they're not. I mean, they might convene, but they're not even acknowledging the crises. They're not even acknowledging that they exist. They're not even, you know, and when they do, when they are faced with them, when they're forced to answer questions about them, they just deflect, you know, that it's not inflation. It's just high consumer demand. It's a great thing. You know, it's not a supply chain crisis. It's just the economy's rebounding and everybody's ordering stuff off Amazon. So it's all good news. It's like, if you can't even acknowledge the crises that we're facing, how can we ever expect you to actually fix them? So what I'm left with is they really have no desire to fix these crises that they're facing.
Well, they've created them. Think about it. We didn't have runaway inflation before last January.
Nope.
We didn't have this crime wave before they just literally started advocating for this insanity of defund the police, which started at the end of the last administration and has gone into overdrive under this administration. And they try to argue that they're not defunding the police. What do you think the vaccine mandate's all about? You're going to lose about 25% of your police force if they force them to do something that they don't think they want or need. You didn't have this problem at the border before last January, gentlemen. You didn't have the incompetence that we've seen every single day of this administration. Here's the beauty. I think Americans are much smarter than these political elites give credit for, and I think they know what's going on. They know who's causing this. They know who's incompetent. They know who it's all about more big government that's going to control your decision-making, control your lives, and frankly hurt your families, and they will make them pay for it at the ballot box next year.
Well, and, you know, and to that, we saw some recent Rasmussen polling was talking about how those heading into next year's midterms, those Democrats, that, you know, having support from Biden is going to be a weight on them. And we pointed this out earlier in the show, too, Representative Tom Emmer, and that is when, you know, you look at Trump. And I'm even going to put former President Barack Obama in this. Barack Obama in this category as well. When you look at Obama and you look at Trump or any other past presidents, you know what a leader does is a leader sees a problem, right? They go and they identify what that problem is. They may bring in their individuals within their administration to try to work out what the solution is. They go to the American public and they say, this is how we're going to go and solve this problem. A leader goes and does that. That's not what Joe Biden is doing, and that's not what Joe Biden is going to do. Joe Biden is being handed, right, the script of what he needs to go and tell the American public. He's not going, oh, we have a supply chain issue. This is how do we go and deal with it? All right, American public, this is how we're going to go and deal with it. That's not how he's operating. And the American people are witnessing it firsthand. They know that it's happening firsthand, and he's admitting it. When he goes out and he speaks to the public, when he says, I've been told on who I have to call on, I'm going to get in trouble if I take any more questions. He openly shows how he is not the person in charge. He is not the leader. And almost every other president, whether you agree with their policies and their ideologies or not, that's what they do. That's not what Joe Biden is doing. And the American public is catching on to that very quickly.
Yeah, that's a great point, John. Although, while you were talking, I agree with everything you say, except I thought he did try to do something about the southern border at one point. Didn't he assign fixing that problem to Kamala Harris?
She's still coming up with the plan.
I believe it's pronounced Kamala Harris.
Hey, if we can't laugh, we'd be crying.
So, true story right there.
Well, Representative Tom Emmer, I hope you, you got to be excited. I had snow on my way in this morning, and I know that always, the first snow of the year always gets Representative Emmer pretty fired up.
You know what, Andrew? Thank you. I'm looking at it right now. I got the skis. I'm figuring out the wax. Just give me a little bit more snow, and we're going to hit the cross-country trail very soon.
I'm sure
the time of year is upon us.
I'll see you cross-countrying around Delano over the weekend, I'm sure. Have a great weekend, Representative Emmer. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll catch up with you next week, all right?
Take care, guys.
Take care.
Bye. You're fascinating to talk to.
He is fascinating to
talk to. Let's go, Brandon!
Minneapolis DFL chair Devin Hogan suggested the city council should, doing nothing with my fingers, refuse to accept the election results. Weakens, he says, the results of the election that weakens the council's authority. Refuse to cede power! ! He urged on Twitter in a conversation that involved the outgoing council member Philippe Cunningham. The DFL leader aired this anti-democratic position days after voters chose to reduce the city council's power in a free and fair election.
Yeah, I believe this. What it really revolves around is the strong mayor proposal that passed through. The citizens of Minneapolis voted for a referendum item known as the Strong Mayor Amendment. By approving this amendment, the voters installed what is known as a strong mayor system, which is commonly used by other cities. Under the system, the mayor, in this case Jacob Fry, will have control over all city departments, replacing the city council as the head of those departments. Well, apparently Devin Hogan, the chair of the Minneapolis DFL, was opposed to that plan. And ignoring the fact that the voters overwhelmingly voted in favor of it, says, screw that, do it anyway. Refuse to cede power.
What does that mean?
I think it means he wants them to refuse to cede power. I think it means he wants them to ignore the will of the electorate. In this case, Philippe Cunningham probably wants him to stay in office. Basically, he wants them to institute a coup. He wants them to do what they accuse the President Trump doing, what they accuse President Trump supporters of doing on January 6th. What we've heard now for 9 months was the gravest day in this country's history, the darkest day for democracy in this country's history. But clearly, when it's an issue that, you know, they care about, they're all in favor of it. They are all in favor of trashing democracy, throwing the voters at will, the electorate's will, out the window, and stage a coup in the city of Minneapolis.
Well, isn't this the same guy that referred to burning down the third precinct as a revolutionary act and an act of righteousness?
Yes. Yep. He says, like it or not, setting the third precinct on fire was a genuine revolutionary moment. He wrote that in an op-ed for Southside Pride.
And he's not alone in that belief, and that's the real divide, I think, that has to be addressed in the Twin Cities specifically, but in Minnesota more broadly, is you've got a lot of people on the left right now that look back at those riots after George Floyd, and they do not look back at them with shame, their disgust, or disbelief. They look at them as, that was a good start.
Yeah.
That was a good start. We might have to do it again too if they keep these voters keep voting the way we don't want them to. What was the big comment that we saw a number of times after the last city elections? We burned down a precinct and they reelected Jacob Fry anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what does that mean? That means, I guess, we're going to have to burn down another precinct because we didn't get the electoral results we wanted.
Well, look at what we saw this week. The guy goes to the judge's condo. Mm-hmm. Protesting because they want cameras in the courtroom, and she goes along with it. 2 days later, we're going to have cameras in the courtroom.
It had nothing to do with that, though. It's COVID.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She should have been shipping the trial out to another county.
Well, and we'll add one more in here real quick. From Hot Air, leaders of the, this is in New York City, leaders of the city's Black Lives Matter movement on Wednesday, threatened riots and bloodshed in the streets if Mayor-elect Eric Adams reverses the NYPD's controversial brings back the NYPD's controversial anti-crime units. Because they had gotten rid of them. So I said, if you bring back your anti-crime units, you can expect riots and bloodshed.
That's terrorism. Terrorism.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a terroristic threat. There's no other way to describe that other than a terroristic threat. If you institute this policy that we disagree with, you can expect riots and bloodshed.
It will be interesting to see, though, how the new mayor responds. It really calls for a response if he's serious.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, that's a good point. This is like a really first important litmus test for Eric Adams.
You know, this thing about the DFL in Minneapolis, I'm going to just bring up a point that as ancient history, forgive me, but you know, the DFL really made itself under Mayor Humphrey in 1948 when he undertook to throw out the communists from the Democratic Party. And it really makes me yearn for the good old days. You know, the people made the DFL what it was, were Humphrey and Orville Freeman and their acolytes, including Walter Mondale. And it's a shame that these folks are all leaving. Even, you know, Mike Freeman's out and Skip Humphrey is long gone. It would have been part of their muscle memory. But the DFL really needs to have an accounting with itself, and nobody is calling it to account. And thus we are where we are with Ilhan Omar and the whole rest of the clown show. Clown, when we're talking about Kamala Harris.
This is the plan. Kamala Harris.
All right, coming up before the news quiz, new CNN-driven attack on Rittenhouse judge ripped out of the Peak Stupid playbook. Plus, we will get into New York Post has got a really interesting piece on this, and we'll spend just a little bit of time on it again ahead of the news quiz. Kyle Rittenhouse shooting, according to the New York Post, a clear case of self-defense.
Twin Cities News Talk.
Socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters. Underwear is the second, shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear and shirts too, all designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy. Boom.
All right, one more segment before the Friday news quiz brought to us by our friends at Twin Cities Cannabis. You want to win a $100 gift certificate from them? Then just simply predict who you think is going to win, Jeff O'Brien, Scott Johnson, or producer Sam Sansevier. I'd say right now, most of the money is on Jeff. I think Jeff is the most popular pick so far. Nobody has faith in Sam because she missed the first two shows of the week.
Oops, I forgot about that.
How did I pull ahead in the voting? I thought Scott was leading an hour ago.
It's been a flood of predictions have shifted the odds.
The 3 a.m. ballots came in, right?
Australia woke up.
From red state to that, the prosecution in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial has undercut their own case a number of times since the start of the trial is not being disputed, even by some on the left who were eager to see Rittenhouse sent to the fryer or at least to prison for a long time for some strange reason. Right. But it's because of that uncomfortable truth that the left and the media are now proceeding to attack the judge in the case, in part because he's repeatedly admonished the prosecution and because he allegedly has the God Bless the USA song as a ringtone on his phone.
Oh, that's it. Yep. He's clearly MAGA.
A song that was played at Trump rallies. But it's mostly because the prosecution has done a garbage job of proving their case to the jury, which has caused a lot of heartbreak in leftist circles. While yesterday's ringtone attack was about the dumbest it gets, today's attack on, and this was, of course, yesterday, so that would have been Wednesday, today's attack on Judge Schroeder may just take the cake. And very few reading this will be shocked to find out that today's attack was inarguably driven by reporters at CNN. So they were going to take a break, right, in the case. And the judge went and said this.
Let's hope for 1 o'clock. I don't know. Hope the Asian food isn't coming. Isn't on one of those boats in Long Beach Harbor.
Are they saying that's racist?
Yes, of course they're saying that's racist. That's exactly
because,
what that's exactly
he
what
said
they're
the
saying.
Word Asian.
Yes.
Why is that racist? What's racist about that?
He's a CNN reporter, Quang La, apparently, who is covering the trial, and her tweet provided a quick recap of the comments shortly before lunchtime regarding the timeline for the arrival of the Asian food. And when he made that comment, she insinuated that it was racism, an anti-Asian attack.
He accidentally said the word Asian because he knew that they were getting Asian food. I think that he was just trying to make a joke about the supply chain.
That's exactly what he was doing. Yeah. That's exactly what he was doing. They knew they were ordering Asian food.
Right.
It was already established that they were ordering Asian food.
Right. Right.
But you can't say that anymore, apparently.
But look, they're just looking for a reason.
Yes, of course.
They're just looking for a reason. He uttered the word Asian. That's it. That's all he did.
Well, and I saw somewhere, I thought they were all uptight because it was Veterans Day yesterday, and he made a mention of recognizing the veterans in the courtroom.
On Veterans Day?
Yeah, and it just happened to be that the one veteran in the courtroom happened to be the defense's next witness. So that was bad, too. That triggered them, too.
Oh, he's a Nazi.
So it was even the CNN producer so pushed back on the CNN reporter and pointed out Stephen Krakauer said that was an obvious joke that was obvious he was making a supply chain joke.
Yeah.
It was specifying the
ethnicity of the food that they ordered, though, because he did that, clearly. He's a Nazi, clearly.
Oh, man alive. Now,
first of all, you got a lot of people out there that are just simply walking around with their, you know, with their trigger, you know, right out on their chest for everybody to see, waiting for it to be flipped, waiting for anything that they can choose to be offended by. So you got a lot of people walking around like that. And then, of course, this case is not going the way our friends on the left.
That's exactly right. And that's why they're putting getting their narrative spun now, because this case is not going well for the prosecution, and they're going to have to come up with something in the event that Mr. Rittenhouse is acquitted.
I think one of the most egregious moments for me in my, you know, consuming of this trial over the course of the past week was when the prosecutor was questioning Kyle and questioning why he felt the need to fire on someone who was unarmed. He was just using his feet. You know, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along those lines. He was only using his feet, as if someone's foot can't do serious damage, as if someone's foot can't kill you.
Right.
When it's curb stomping your face into the asphalt, as if that couldn't be life threatening, if that's not a grave threat to your life. You have a right to defend yourself against someone who is curb stomping you. And I said it earlier on the show, and I tweeted it, and I'll say it again. Everybody listening right now would have done the exact same thing Kyle Rittenhouse did in that situation.
Yep.
Every single one of them, and every single person listening knows that if Kyle Rittenhouse didn't do that, he'd be dead today.
Right.
Yeah, and a couple of the points made in this New York Post article, right? He crossed state lines is a familiar streak because he lived in Antioch, Illinois, with his mother and two sisters, he told the court. But his father lived in Kenosha, as did his grandmother, aunt, cousins, and best friend. He had a job as a lifeguard in Kenosha and had worked a shift that day before he joined a group of volunteers scrubbing graffiti off the wall of a local school that had been vandalized by rioters.
What a monster.
He kept his gun at his friend's stepfather's house in Kenosha. So he did not bring it into Wisconsin. He crossed state lines only when Kenosha police wouldn't let him surrender to them after the shooting. So he went to the closest police station he knew a few miles away in Illinois. Within an hour of the shootings, he'd given himself up to police there. The narrative painted in the media is so at odds with the evidence in court, it makes you wonder what agenda is at work here. Why does almost everyone who leans Democratic want to convict Rittenhouse and lock him in prison for the rest of his life? And again, like we talked about earlier, it's a January 6th situation. They need to set an example.
Well, I get a kick out of, you know, some of the commentators saying, well, you know, he shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Big deal.
I'm guessing that all the rioters weren't from Kenosha. Yeah.
It's not illegal. He's not on trial for crossing state lines.
And in terms of the crossing,
he's not on trial for not being from Kenosha.
Yeah, and in terms of crossing state lines, let's have some perspective. He lived 30 minutes away from Kenosha. I drove 30 minutes to get here. They're blowing up this crossing state lines thing into more than what it is.
And just one more point on this, because I know we're short on time here. Rosenbaum, right? The other individual in the part of this. 36 years old, according to the New York Post article, was a pitiable figure who never should have been on the streets. He was a convicted pedophile with a bipolar disorder who had just been released that day from a psychiatric ward in a Milwaukee hospital after a suicide attempt. He appeared deeply unwell, carrying a heavy chain in one hand, swearing, using the N-word, and looking for trouble. He had already twice threatened to kill Rittenhouse and his group and cut our hearts out, Kyle said. Rittenhouse described another man, Joshua Zeminski, 35, who pointed a gun at him just before Rosenbaum chased him into the parking lot. Mr. Zeminski was instructing Mr. Rosenbaum to get him and kill him. It was Zeminski who allegedly fired the shot behind Rittenhouse that escalated the situation. Zeminski would later be charged with disorderly conduct by use of a dangerous weapon for firing a gun in the air. Multiple videos in court and testimony from the medical examiner corroborate what Rittenhouse says happened next. As he turned to Rosenbaum, was coming at me. I remember his hand on the barrel of my gun, Kyle said. That was the first time that Rittenhouse fired his gun, killing Rosenbaum. Then he ran toward police to surrender, but was chased and attacked by the mob. People were screaming, cranium him, get him, kill him.
Yeah, he'd be dead. He would be dead today if he wasn't armed and he didn't defend himself. And everybody that wants to see him go to jail would be perfectly fine with that.
Yep.
They'd be perfectly fine with him dying on the street that day. That would be the desired outcome for a lot of people. Probably even for LeBron James, I would go so far as to say. The desired outcome would be Kyle Rittenhouse dead and bleeding on the street.
Watching the trial, I've been struck by two things. One is the professional misconduct of the prosecutor, mm-hmm. Binger, that he got chewed out for by the judge. But there's a reason that this guy is misbehaving and doing things that are bizarre, that have no relevance to the charge or to the defense of self-defense. And that's that the evidence isn't there for him. And I'm not going to predict how the jury... There's a question of fact for the jury on the two people who were killed about whether the self-defense applies under Wisconsin law. But the reason that guy is the prosecutor is misbehaving is that the evidence he has is so weak, and it really makes his behavior contemptible.
It is time for the Friday News Quiz. You still have a few more minutes left to let us know who you think is going to win the News Quiz this morning.
Scott Johnson, Jeff O'Brien, Producer Sam will be competing. Get your predictions in now. You could win $100 from Twin Cities.
Socks are the number one most requested item at homeless shelters. Underwear second, and shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear and shirts too, all designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.
Final final segment of your Friday edition of Justice and Drew, and that means one thing and one thing only. It is time to play the Friday News Quiz. Three rounds in the Friday News Quiz. We've got audio clips, we've got parody songs, and we've got headlines with blanks in them for you guys to fill out. Six audio clips, three parody songs, and what do I got? I got 12 headlines, I think. I don't know how many.
Right? Sure.
A bunch.
I see 12.
Not a bunch. We'll start with round one. In the audio round, we will play an audio clip for you. You'll have a few seconds to tell us who's speaking, provide any relevant context. If you fail to do so, your opponents can buzz in with their names and steal those points.
All right, Scott Johnson, the first audio clip is for you. Who is speaking and what are they talking about?
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Would that I had the magic wand on this.
That is Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm talking about the gasoline prices.
That is correct.
Yes, asked, what are you going to do? The
laughing about
high oil prices.
What an odd laugh. Was her mouth wide
were
open?
I to have that
world?
Kind of power.
It's bizarre. It sounded like an actor laugh.
She had training in fake laughter from the master of fake laughter.
Apparently
the mistress of fake laughter.
Sam, what? Audio clip number two. This one's for you.
If an underpass was constructed such that a bus carrying mostly black and Puerto Rican kids was designed too low for it to pass by, that obviously reflects racism that went into those design choices.
That's PDB, Pete Buttigieg.
That is correct. Obviously. No other possible explanation
that turned out
for
to
a
be
low overpass because, that's, you know, white kids, they drive the short buses.
That was a big old lie.
They ride in the short buses.
Yeah. Turns out it was an urban myth.
Mm-hmm. An extraordinary lawyer, Jeff O'Brien, here is audio clip number three.
How can it be that you can literally fly from Montreal to Miami, or you could fly from Ottawa to Fargo, but you couldn't drive from Thunder Bay to Duluth?
That would be our illustrious senior senator, Amy Klobuchar.
What's she talking about, do you know?
Scott. Oh, reopening Scott. The border between Canada and the United States.
Scott swooping in with a steal. Nicely done. All right, we circle back around. We sake back around to Scott for audio clip number four.
I was astonished when you began your examination by commenting on the defendant's post-arrest silence. That's basic law. It's been basic law in this country for 40 years, 50 years. I have no idea why you would do something like that.
That's Judge Bruce Schroeder righteously chewing out Prosecutor Thomas Binger.
The names and everything.
I mean, wow.
That's good. Ooh. You are running away with this in the early round.
All right, Sam, here's audio clip number five.
I'm scared.
We campaign with the plan. Uppercase T, uppercase P. The plan.
That was Kamala Harris.
It's pronounced Kamala.
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 Trying to, like, I don't know, do like a weird kind of fake French accent while she's talking to some French scientists.
Yes. All those things.
Kamala Harris acting French for some reason.
Yeah, for no reason.
Final audio clip, Jeff O'Brien.
You know, my granny bird says that since I'm 6 years old, I can get the vaccine.
Would that be Big Bird talking about getting the COVID vaccine?
Big Bird's 6 years old?
Yes, Big Bird is apparently 6 years old.
Oh, my gosh. What is he going to look like when he's an adult?
That's what Big Bird sounds like now?
You know, my granny bird says that since I'm 6 years old, I can get the vaccine.
Oh, my gosh.
It's different than I remember.
Does the voice actor just hold his mouth like this?
Yeah, I don't. Weird. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Scott Johnson, 5 points in the opening round. That may even be an opening round record. Sam with three, Jeff with two. We move on to the parody round. We got one parody song snippet for each of you. If you can correctly identify the story that is being referenced by those parody songs, you will be awarded points.
And Scott Johnson, you are up first. Here's your parody.
The FBI doesn't want you to read the Ashley Biden diary.
I think that's a reference to the O'Keefe Project raid.
There we go. Yeah. We were going to hold you to mentioning either O'Keefe or Project Veritas since the parody was so obvious. Sam.
Yes.
This one's for you. John's favorite song.
stuck. Students being graded differently and the grading standard being different. Critical race theory.
Be a little more specific than that.
Got critical race theory in there. It was.
Can I get a half a point for critical race theory?
There are no half points. There's never been a half point.
I will always try. I will always try.
Anybody else? A little more specificity on that one? Story we did earlier in the week about an Arizona professor who is dropping the A to F grade system and replacing it on grading based on labor.
Yeah.
I'm going to grade you based on
the amount of labor going into the work that they do. Yeah.
I heard that segment and I still couldn't. that.
Sometimes I was, we're too I clever was, for our own good.
I was too enamored with the tune, so.
All right, Jeff O'Brien, here is your audio clip number three.
Breaking some wind. Old Sleepy Joe is breaking some wind. Breaking some wind. Breaking some wind. Old Sleepy Joe is breaking some wind.
Jeff O'Brien?
That would be the reports that our president broke wind in front of the Duchess of Cornwall, that she said it was long and loud, and she's still talking about it.
Yeah, long and loud, and she could not stop talking about it.
Wow, that song slaps.
Yeah. I thought he was gross even before that, let me say.
All right, Scott Johnson, 6 points. Jeff and Sam tied 3 points apiece, but this game won and lost every week in the headline round. Remember, buzz in with your name when you think you know the correct answers. We've got headlines with blanks in them for you to fill out.
All right, we have 2 points available for headline number one. Here we go. Star Wars star blank unhappy with blank's choice of sweatshirts.
Well, Sam... Second blank is Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Not sure what the first blank is.
Anybody for the steal? Star Wars star blank.
Scott, I would guess William Shatner, the only Star Wars star I know.
Oh,
you are. That's Star Trek?
Okay.
And only because I believe you made that as a legitimate mistake. We're not going to deduct points from you.
That would be Mark Hamill.
Headline
upset.
Number two. Two blanks in this headline as well. Blank threatens to sue over the use of blank with its trademarks. Covered this earlier in the week. Blank threatens to sue over the use of blank with its trademarks. Probably not the best written headline in the world. I'll fully admit that one right there. All right, nobody's guessing on that one. NASCAR threatens to sue over the use of Let's Go Brandon with its trademarks. There's a bunch of shirts out there that look like the NASCAR logo, but say Let's Go Brandon.
Yeah, and Peloton now has banned it. I guess you can interact with people when you're on a Peloton because they're all, and they've taken away the ability to use the Let's Go Brandon
hashtag. But you can still say F Trump if you want.
Of course.
Of course. Yeah.
All right, 2 points available here for one point available here for headline number three.
Nope, two.
Oh, you're right. It is two. Sorry. I was jumping ahead. 2 points available. Number three. Kamala Harris asks blank if it can track blank by race.
Jeff.
Jeff.
Asked NASA if they can track trees by race.
2 points, Jeff. That's correct. Yes, she did.
Yes.
Yes.
And they use the technology to track trees by race because of tree inequity.
Mm-hmm.
Two blanks in this one. Headline number four. Blank admits that the blank slogan was a mistake for progressives.
Jeff, well, defund the police.
Blank admits that defund the police slogan was a mistake for progressives.
Scott.
Go ahead.
Keith Ellison.
1 point, Jeff. 1 point, Scott.
All right, here we go. Headline number five. 2 points again. Blank asks St. Paul Council to exempt new construction from blank.
Scott. Melvin Carter rent control ordinance.
That is true.
2 points.
That is correct.
The ordinance does not allow for any exemptions. Apparently, he didn't read it. Headline number six. Minnesota official resigns from blank over controversial letter.
Wow. It's hard when I miss half a week of the show.
The National School Board Association. Minnesota official resigns from the National School Board Association over controversial story appeared in Alpha News.
Headline number seven. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand introduces blank transparency amendment.
My goodness.
Sam, voting.
I'm just trying now. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand introduces blank transparency amendment. Anybody? UFO UAP.
Ooh. Yeah,
talked about that at length on the show just like yesterday. Headline number 8. Vikings player blank reportedly hospitalized due to COVID.
Oh, I can't remember his name. I remember
Jeff.
The story in our
head. Is it Harrison Smith?
Oh, it's a lineman.
Oh.
That's worth half a point, Scott Johnson.
Dakota Dozier. Dozier hospitalized.
Headline number 9. Majority of voters say blank endorsement would make them less likely to vote for a candidate.
Sam, Joe Biden.
Oh, sorry, correct. That is correct. Wrong button. Wrong button, Drew.
Oh, finally.
Cool. Wrong button, Drew. Headline number 10. Blank to play key role in enforcing vaccine mandates.
Sam. Karen's, but like people, coworkers reporting their other coworkers.
We'll take Karen's.
We'll take it. Yeah.
Whistleblowers.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
All right. Blank's vaccination status might delay production of Black Panther 2.
Ooh.
I hadn't heard this one.
Yeah. MAGA confirmed.
Ooh. Oh. Bigger fan now.
Anyone? Anyone?
Letitia Wright.
Yeah, apparently she's unvaccinated.
Okay. I was going to guess William Shatner.
You know what? Make us laugh, that's worth a point.
What? I make you laugh every day.
Not during the news quiz. Headline number 12, final headline of this game. Blank cancels himself at Cambridge University because he once portrayed Adolf Hitler. Blank cancels himself.
Stupid.
This is a hilarious story. This is a really funny story.
Yeah.
Sam, professor?
Nope. And is a celebrity.
Oh.
Is a famous person. Oh. Canceled himself at Cambridge University because he once portrayed Adolf Hitler. Anyone? John Cleese of Monty Python fame was scheduled to speak at the university, and some student group at the university put out a list of like banned speakers and banned things, and one of them was someone who had once portrayed Adolf Hitler or done a Hitler impersonation. And John Cleese saw that list. He was scheduled to go speak, and he says, "You know what? I once portrayed Adolf Hitler in one of the Monty Python sketches, so if that's your standard, then I'm not going to come speak there." So he canceled himself in his own speech because he thought the university was being dumb. All that irrelevant and leads us to today's winner, which is Scott Johnson. Congratulations.
We're done.
All you are the champions. You are the champion. The other two are losers.
That's fine.
You guys are losers.
Hey, if I have to lose, I'll lose to a guy that got Dan Rather fired.
I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed the show this morning, even before.
but even more now. Right? 10 points for Scott, 6 for Sam, 6 for Jeff. Well done. Well played, all of you. Everybody who predicted Scott Johnson would win, keep an eye on your email, keep an eye on your Twitter DMs, and we will notify you if you won that $100 gift card from Twin Cities Cannabis.
You know, we talked about how the news is dominated with negativity. I just want to share something really quick in the closing moments here that, Drew, you found this, and it's pretty awesome. From Science Alert, a man paralyzed from the neck down due to a spinal cord injury he sustained in 2007 has shown that he can communicate his thoughts thanks to a brain implant system that translates his imagined handwriting into actual text.
It is an amazing story, and it's incredible technology. But did you know what his first thought was? Let's go, Brandon.
94% accuracy is what they've been able to do with them. The device is part of longstanding research called BrainGate, a brain-computer interface that uses artificial intelligence to interpret signals of neural activity generated during handwriting. And so what they're showing here is that potentially individuals who are paralyzed can actually have this attached to their brains.
Yeah.
And they can actually go and translate their thoughts and have it written down with accuracy on a page in front of them. It's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing.
I hope you're allowed to filter it, though. I hope you're able to. That's the scary.
Oh yeah, I didn't think about that. Yeah,
if it's just gonna like start spitting out every thought that you have,
that's a completely different
form.
Yeah,
that's a dangerous game you're playing, science.
Sam!
Yes?
Learn today. What did you?
Well, I learned that I need to be here more than 3 days out of a week in order to do well in the news quiz. I learned that. Around 6:30 this morning, though, I learned why there was a protest outside Prior Lake High School yesterday. Then around 8 a.m., we had Tom Emmer on the show. I learned more about his thoughts on how the Biden administration is handling the many, 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 many crises that we have going on right now. And a little after that, around 8:20, I learned the lawyerly opinions of Jeff O'Brien and Scott Johnson on the Kyle Rittenhouse case. If you missed any of those conversations and you want to catch up on the show, find our podcast on the iHeartRadio app by searching for Justice and Drew.
Do it. We're back Monday.
Thanks for having us on, guys.
Yeah, you guys did a great job. It was a lot of fun. Jeff O'Brien, lawyer extraordinaire. Scott Johnson from Powerline. Thank you guys so much for coming in. Bang up job today.
It's fun being here.
Always is. Always
enjoy
good.
Enjoy the weather this weekend, everybody.
Try to, anyway.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Try to. We'll be back on Monday with DC correspondent Andrew Langer, voice of the Vikings Paul Allen. Will give us a Vikings Chargers recap. Hopefully it's better than the last one.
Let's hope so.